Hallelujah. I want to talk about reasoning, questioning the Bible, questioning God, questioning things. It can literally delay and even stop our breakthrough if we begin to do those kind of things. Always, you know, I don't know, you know, just to hesitate will stop the blessing of God from coming to you. In James chapter 1, maybe we'll read that later. I didn't give him that scripture, but it talks about a double-minded man or a person is unstable in all of their ways. And as we mentioned this morning, faith and fear cannot be in operation together. It just will not produce the results that you want it to produce, okay? And a lot of times that, you know, those of us who are faithful, we've prayed, we've sowed, we've done things for our harvest, our healing, so on and so forth. We confess the word, but there seems to be a delay. The Bible says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Amen? Do any of you lack patience? You know, sometimes you lack patience. Some of you, right? See, through faith and patience, faith takes hold of. And patience is steady. Amen? Just steady through the trials. Steady through the, you know, we sing that song, Lord, do what you're famous for. Well, God is at work behind the scenes all the time, and you need to realize that. There are just some things, especially where relationships and people are concerned, in different things, that the angels are working on our behalf all the time. Amen. There are the unseen realm that's at work to bring blessing to us. And that's why we have to allow patience to have its perfect work. I know you don't like this message, do you? God, I don't want to be. You know, patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And if we don't cultivate patience in our life, we will never walk in victory. Because what happens is we'll hear a faith message on Sunday morning, get all excited about it, walk out of church, and then by Sunday evening or by Monday morning, where is the faith? Where is that inner witness that we felt when we left church? Because the enemy comes immediately, Mark chapter 4, to steal the seed. Amen? The sower sows the word, and then the Bible says, immediately. He doesn't take time. Immediately he comes and tries to instill doubt. And depends what level you are as a Christian. Young Christians might even doubt their salvation because of some things they're going through. Or, you know, depending what level, might doubt your healing that you've been believing God for. See, God's word is accurate. It is sure. It is forever settled in heaven. But see, as doubt settles in, all of our patience goes out the door. And it's through faith and patience we do what? We inherit. We get it. We get the stuff that we're believing God for. So be patient, all right? Don't begin to question God. Don't try to figure out how God's going to do it. Our job is to believe, and it's God's job to do it. But a lot of times we wanted to just help God, plan things out. This is, God, if you'll just do it this way, I just want to. And you know, a lot of times we want to see something. God, just give me a little glimpse. Just give me a little bit so I can just have something to hang on to. The word should be enough to hang on to. Because the Bible says God and his word are one. You can't separate God and his word. Hallelujah. So Psalms 119, verse 89, and say this with me, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Psalms 119, verse 89 says this, forever your word is settled in heaven. Now, God isn't, there's no shadow of turning with the Lord. If he has said something, he will not break covenant. He will not break his oath. He will not say something and not perform it. In fact, the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. One translation says he hastens his word. He watches over it. He makes sure. And listen, when we pray in faith, when we pray the word of God, immediately the angels are dispatched because they hearken to the word of God. The angels hearken to the voice of God. They're waiting to hear commands from the word of God. So if God's word is in our mouth and we speak God's word consistently and faithfully, God's angels respond to that word. Hallelujah. They're mighty in power. Glory to God. And they've been sent, the book of Hebrews says, they've been sent to minister for us who are heirs of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? You have angels. They're working on your behalf. But we need to learn to be steady in our faith, steady in our assurance that if God has promised something, he's also able to perform it. Amen? In Numbers 23, verse 19, I quoted this scripture, but it says, "Forever your word." I already said that. Okay. Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, we've been brought up in a culture of being lied to from every level. Amen? For parents to grandparents, some people, and just siblings and those who are in authority and government on down, just lie. And some of you, before you were born again, was pretty good liars. Amen? And so we have a culture of distrust. We have a culture that we're not sure. We're just going to wait and see. But see, we can't play with God's word like that. God's word, again, is forever settled in heaven. He watches over his word to perform it. And he's not a man. Say this with me. God is not a man. He cannot lie. Satan is the daddy of lies. Amen? That's why the world that's living in under their father, the devil, that's all you can expect are lies. But when we move into the kingdom of God, it's all truth. God's word is truth. And we can stake our life on it. Amen? And a lot of people in the past have staked their life on it. The martyrs that had died. Amen? Look, read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And see, they stood on the word of God. They believed God. They had a relationship with God. Like a lot of the modern church doesn't. We just come to church and we just, you know, we sing our hymns, we sing our songs, and, you know, we're, you know, 3 points, go home, dismissed, come back next week. But see, this is a lifestyle. A lifestyle that we've got to live it 24 hours, 7 days a week. We wake up with Jesus. We go to sleep with Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's with us all the time. Again, we read in Ephesians, it talks about the Holy Spirit, the power to accomplish those things that we're believing God for. Hallelujah. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 is interesting, the New Living Testament. It says, "Understand, therefore." Now, you've got to understand this. "That the Lord your God is indeed God." How many of you know there's only one God? Only one God. Hallelujah. He is the what? The faithful God who keeps the covenant for 1,000 generations. I like this, who keeps the word. Who keeps his word to 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Hallelujah. So if God has promised us healing, if he has promised us answered prayer, if you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. Hallelujah. And in the area of giving, we know that when we give generously, we'll reap generously. All of these things is seed time and harvest. Say seed time and harvest. We sow seed, and sometimes it takes a while for that seed to grow. How many of you have planted gardens this year? Some of you planted gardens this year. How many of you know you don't go out the next day and expect the fruit to be on there or the vegetables or whatever? You just don't do that. It takes time. It takes caring. It takes going out there. But you know that there's power in the seed. Say there's power in the seed. Can you understand how seed operates? Some of you may have studied chemistry or biology or whatever you study. I remember Donna going through that, and she was homeschooled and learned about the seed and the breakdown of the seed and whatever. But still, nobody can really explain how that happens. You know why? Because God did it. God did it. God made seed time and harvest. And everything that we believe God for and we get God's word in our hearts planted, it is a seed on the inside of us. And through faith and patience. Patience. Now listen, it takes patience to get those tomatoes off. Come on now. It takes patience. You think about it, week after week, weeks sometimes, depending on the weather and other things that we have to depend on, raising crops and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, it will, if everything is right, if the ground is right, if the weather is right, all the conditions are right. And that's why Mark chapter 4, sometime we'll go over there and look at those different grounds and see, you know, that the seed falls into. But I said this morning, when the seed is planted, immediately who comes to steal the seed? The devil immediately comes to steal. He'll come and cause you to, well, is that really true? Is that really true? That's why we encourage you, just don't believe everything we say from the pulpit. Go home and read the Bible. Prove it yourself. So you can say, oh, Pastor Ed said that. There's a lot of voices out there, folks. Even in the Christian world, there are a lot of different voices and different sounds. When I moved back here, I'd been in the ministry. I was young. But I knew what I believed. And see, people can go 50 years serving the Lord and still don't know what they believe. There's no foundation in their life. And I remember coming back here and starting the church. I had to work on the side. I worked with my Judy's uncles painting and for a while. And what they were doing, they were serving the Lord. They were Christians, so they had Christian radio. I think it was WEZE or something like that. And they had the Christian radio playing all day long. I remember we were painting houses at Nantasket Beach, and they were blasting these men of God. And I'm not judging anybody, but there was more trash coming over that Christian radio station. You say, oh, a trash? Are you? Yeah, because it didn't line up with the Word of God. It was philosophies of men. It was men's tradition. See, the tradition of men makes the Word of God of non-effect. Amen? When they tell me God is the one who makes me sick, God is causing poverty to come on my family so we can be taught something, and so on and so forth, God will spank you, beat you up, leave you for dead. Come on. And this is the constant, what I was getting, one preacher after another preacher coming over that radio. I had to pray in tongues. Glory to God. I had to somehow shut that off because, again, it's what you hear, what gets into your spirit will mess you up. It'll cause you to begin to doubt. Well, maybe that preacher might have something. Pastor Ed might not know what he's talking about. Let's listen to this guy over here. And what happens is you can get your mind filled up with so much controversy that you don't know what you believe. And it causes confusion. Come on now. And hopefully you folks have come to this church and you've found that we preach the truth. I can't say everybody is absolutely 100% correct in their doctrine. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But how many of you know that the stuff that we teach is good stuff? Amen? It's setting free stuff. It's the new covenant, praise God. It's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of mercy. God's a good God, not a bad God. Hallelujah. And we have to stop looking at things and trying to, sometimes people have to just stop thinking. They overthink. They just overthink. Come on. Are any of you like that? You've heard something, you just gotta, hell, I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, I asked my pastor a hard question. And you probably all thought of this, but I had to be bold enough to ask him, where did God come from? Where did God had to have a beginning somewhere. Where did God come from? I wanted to know, where did he come from? Do any of you know where he came from? Okay. Where?
He always was.
He always was. All right. But in our minds, he always was. Everything has to have a beginning. Everything. Everything. That's why you have to take, that's what faith is. There are people that have seen Jesus. I haven't seen Jesus. There are people that have seen angels, even in this church. My wife has seen an angel. My son's seen an angel. How many of you have seen an angel? Some of you have seen an angel. Awesome. But see, I have an angel, but I know they're angels. I know that they're around me. I know that they're in this building. Hallelujah. God, I'm not going to believe it. It's like doubting Thomas. Jesus, I'm not going to believe that you're really there in front of me until I can stick my finger in your hole in your hand and put my hand in your side. And you know what Jesus said? Okay, Thomas, come on, you can do it. But then he said, blessed are those that believe and yet not have seen. Blessed are those who believe. They don't have to see. Faith does not have to see. Faith takes God at his word, period. Amen? So watch out what you hear, because it will affect you as far as your faith is concerned. A lot of people have gotten off. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 3. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying our warfare according to the flesh. Or I like to say according to reason. And using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, or rather the weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Now, if you understand me, a lot of the strongholds that we face is in our minds. The battlefield is in our minds, or in our soulish realm. See, when you're born again, your spirit man is perfect. That's a part of you. When you receive Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But if you didn't have hair before you got saved, you didn't have hair after. You may look happier. It may change your disposition. But basically, your thought processes and everything else about you are the same, except your spirit man, the real you. You are a spirit. You're created after God. God is spirit. And so you are born again, not in your flesh, but in your spirit man, the real you. A lot of us, we look at ourselves as everything. Everything. You know, I'm sick. Well, my spirit's not sick. Come on. I'm poor. My spirit's not poor because I have God living inside of me. And so the problem is the flesh. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, had that warfare going on in Romans chapter 7, where he said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Woe is me. I can't do it. And he recognized that there are warfare going on. But in Romans chapter 8, he deals with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's through the Holy Spirit. Receiving what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years, realizing that it is the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We use that scripture this morning. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin to death, period. Amen. Back in the 80s and early 90s, how many of you ever read the book Pigs in the Parlor? Good, don't read it. I shouldn't have said anything. You'll be looking it up. There was a great, great move in the Christian world, the charismatic world, about demons. To everywhere you looked, there was a demon behind every doorknob, and if you sneezed, come out in Jesus' name. And this was taking over the Christian world at the time. And it brought more focus on the devil than it did Jesus. Everybody was looking at each other. What devil do you have, man? I want to cast it out. Glory to God. You name it, there was a demon behind it. But if you find out the Pauline epistles, I know devil can live in me because God inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Greater is, and now, is God's word true? See, I don't question that. Can you be oppressed? Yes. Can sickness be caused of demons? Yes. I believe cancer is because it's a living organism. But it can be cursed and dealt with. Hallelujah. Praise God. Depression and oppression can be dealt with. But that doesn't mean you're possessed. Amen. So, see, all of these doctrines, the devil would love to come in and mess our heads up, getting us to reason, getting us to doubt, well, this, that, whatever. When God says that, we have weapons. They're not physical, but there's something. Now look at this in verse 5. This breaks it down. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories, a lot of these things are theories that you hear, and reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So that's our job. We're going to read out of the Passion Translation in a few minutes. But it says, we take arguments. There are Christians that love to argue. I don't argue. I'm not going to change my mind. Well, Pastor, I wonder if you're wrong. Well, God will deal with me. Amen. Some of you have been wrong before. And listen, God doesn't beat you up when you're wrong. He teaches you. He teaches you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. In fact, the Word of God says you have an unction. You have an anointing inside of you. And you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Glory to God. Amen. Have you ever listened to something and you just know it didn't settle right in your spirit? There's a check. There's something that goes off. Hey, that's just... I mean, religiously, it sounds good, but it's not scriptural. You got to prove everything by scripture. Everything by scripture. And when you prove everything by scripture, you have to rightly divide the Word of God. That means some things in the Old Testament is not for us in the New Testament and even some of the things in the Gospels. Jesus was operating under the old covenant. Come on now. His ministry was to the Jewish people primarily. He said that, especially with the Syrophoenician woman. He said, I have come to the house of Israel, and so on and so forth. But she bypassed that by her faith. Amen. She said, even the dogs or puppies eat from the crumbs under the table. But it wasn't until we got into the epistles or the writings that Paul wrote do we really understand the new covenant. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, and it's so much better. It's so much better. It's so much freer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It's good to be free. Because if you're free, you're going to be happy. You're not in bondage anymore. You're going to understand what the joy of the Lord is. Amen? It's your strength. You can understand when James, the Lord's brother, penned the first chapter, count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations. Count it, glory to God, I count it joyful because something's working out for my betterment. Hallelujah. Something's working out for me and better than I can even imagine. Praise the Lord. So here, in 1 John chapter 5, 8, John, the apostle, said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, who's your adversary, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And verse 9 says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil. How do you do that? You do it the same way Jesus did. In the temptation. What did Jesus do? Devil, it's written. You always take it back to the word. Devil, it is written. Well, you're going to die. No. The Bible says I'll live and not die. The Bible says that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. It is, you can put, it is written, just like Jesus. It is written. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. You can just say, it is written, devil. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Torment or oppression comes. Nope. Oppression is far from me. It is written. Glory to God. Fear does not come nigh me. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a strong mind, of a sound mind. You always answer the enemy with the word of God. Never answer him how you feel. Devil, I know, I just feel so bad. What do? You give him power to even do more into your life when you begin to side with him. Amen? How many of you ever sided with the wrong side before? Come on, and it doesn't produce good stuff, does it? You always side with the winning side, and God is the winner. Read the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. So it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Hallelujah. So when you say steadfast in the faith, you're saying actually being steadfast in the word, knowing the word of God. How many of you read your Bible every day? Amen, you need to, for your own sake, for your growth in the things of God. Amen. Search out the scriptures for yourself. Even if you hear a preacher preach something, all right? And a lot of you know when you're hearing truth, there's freedom, there's a spirit that bears witness. Yeah, amen, this is right. Something goes off on the inside. But if there's a red flag comes up and say, oh, well, I'm going to check that out. I'm going to go to the word of God. I want to check out and see what God says. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Let's actually look at 2 Corinthians, and we'll end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 out of the Passion Translation. Can we do that? Beep. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons. using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. All right, next. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Glory to God. So sometimes you have to demand your thoughts to bow, amen, in submission to the Anointed One and His Word. Amen. Are you any of you getting anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. So the warfare that we rage is, we're already King's kids, we're already born again. But the warfare that we deal with down here on the earth is renewing our minds. And we do that by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God, like I mentioned this morning. Getting it in on the inside of you, where you know that you know that you know that you know. And so the enemy can't come in and deceive you. And listen, he'll not come. I mean, sometimes if he really gets upset, he'll visit you in a dream. He'll do, actually, it's a low lying devil that usually does that. It's not the, if you have the audience of Satan himself, you're a pretty bad dude. Either that or you're a pretty strong Christian. And he's dealing with him, with you himself. Amen? Like a story of Lester Summerall, who went to sleep one night, and all of a sudden his bed moved across the room. Can you imagine that? That'd blow some of your mind. All of a sudden, you know, we've all heard of haunted houses and so on and so forth. The bed just moved across the room that he was staying in. Just boop, like that. Didn't even bother Lester Summerall at all. He just opened his eyes and he said, "Devil, put it back." And the bed zoop, went back to where it was. And he said, "All right, out of here. In Jesus' name." See, we know our authority, praise God. Hallelujah. But a lot of times, the enemy will use people. And a lot of times, it'll be religious people that sounds like they have sound doctrine, but it is religion. Remember, religion always denies the power thereof. It always puts God in the box. It always says, you know, God is limited. God will not do this, or God is hurting you, or God is, this is God's fault. God is the one that took so-and-so. For the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, that's out of the book of Job. So you can look at the Bible, and that's why we have to rightly divide the Word of God. We can pick out the scripture. How many of you didn't know what to read and you just opened your Bible and pointed? Well, what would have happened if you opened the Bible and it would have said, "Go out and hang yourself"? You know where Judas went out and hung himself, cast himself? "Go kill yourself." "Okay, Lord. Amen." No, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. God doesn't say it. So when you read the book of Job, and you know, our Bible reading every year, I just, you know, Job drives me crazy. Until I get to the end. Sometimes I skip the beginning and get to the end. I like, you know, the last chapter. Amen. Glory to God. But you hear the conversation goes on, you know, between the three friends of Job, and Job is, it's like a religious thing, you know, just going, drives you crazy. But the outcome, when Job prayed for his friends, his captivity changed. Amen. And he got right, and God gave him double what he was taken away from him. So that's what I'd like to concentrate on, right? God is into increasing you. But you've got to believe right. You've got to speak right. Amen. You've got to be steady. Hallelujah. Steadfast. Not wavering. Not vacillating between two opinions. Amen. And we could do, many Christians do that all the time. Not sure what you believe. You've got to settle it with the Word of God. God's Word is what? Forever settled in heaven. Amen. Come on, worship team. Where are you? God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands and worship Him. Father, we just thank you right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, back into the 80s when the what we call the Word of Faith, it had been preached by E.W. Kenyon and a wonderful man of God, his books. In fact, you can go on and join the group, E.W. Kenyon, on your Facebook, and you can get articles from him, powerful, who you are in Christ, and so on and so forth. And those are the kind of things you feed on. In fact, I've copied and pasted now probably over 150 teachings by E.W. Kenyon in my notes on my phone, so I can go back and read and meditate on the Word. Kenneth Hagin, and see, I grew up in a denominational church, Pentecostal, but we didn't have all the whole truth. We had partial truth. But I'll tell you, when the Word, when the truth began to come out, preachers were leaving these denominations and going out and starting churches that you say, well, you know, that's just rebellion. No, they wanted to be able to be free to preach the whole Word of God. Amen? That God doesn't make you sick, that God doesn't hurt you, that God is a good God all the time. And you know, Oral Roberts, how many of you know who Oral Roberts was? Amen? Great man of healing, evangelist. Built ORU in Oklahoma. But listen, he was the first really television evangelist that everybody knew. Amen. He was on the main stations. When he came out and he started saying, God is a good God, the whole entire Christian world began to crucify him, began to say bad things. You can't say that because sometimes God's good and sometimes he isn't. But amen, I thank God for our forerunners that would get out there and say, God is a good God. Something good is going to happen to you today. Amen. That was his saying. Every day he came on Sunday morning, something good is going to happen to you. And I'm declaring that today over you. Something good is going to happen to you. Praise the Lord. Say that with me. Something good is going to happen to me. Point to the person next to you and say that something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Come on, worship team.